I do have a story today. There is a chance I might have told you this story years ago, but it's very apropos, so I'm going to talk about it. This guy wins a lottery. He wins a ticket to the Super Bowl. And he goes to the Super Bowl, and he's sitting there waiting for the game, and he's getting caught up in all of the fanfare. And he looks over to the next section, and he sees there's a lady sitting there in the front row, and the seat next to her is empty. And he says, wonder what that's about. And as the time passes, nobody's coming and filling that seat. So his curiosity got the best of him, and he went up to the lady, and he says, "Lady, I'm really sorry to, I don't mean to intrude, but I'm just so curious. Why is the seat next to you empty?" And she said, "Well, that seat belonged to my husband, but he died." And the young man said, "Well, I'm really, really sorry for your loss, but still I have to tell you, it's kind of strange. You would think some friend or some relative would have wanted to take the seat." And the woman said, "Yeah, I thought so too, but they all insisted on being at the funeral." So, any guesses about what today is? That's right. It's Super Bowl Sunday. And coincidentally, it is also Groundhog Day. And we're maybe going to touch on that a little bit later in the talk, seeing how time goes, to see if there is any connection, even a reach, even something remote between the two. But I really want to start by sharing a personal story with you that goes back to when I was in seminary. And I took a special summer course that was advanced homiletics because I really, really wanted to become the best public speaker that I could if I was going to be a minister. And this class held promise of providing new creative ideas of giving a Sunday message. And we were encouraged in the class to think outside of the box. We were encouraged to work in children's storybooks into our talks, or TV shows, or movies, or whatever. And then we had an assignment. We had to go and pick something different and prepare a talk around that. So what I was inspired to do is I picked that classic rock hit song by The Who, "Pinball Wizard." And I played the song at the beginning of the talk, and then I gave the metaphysics of the song. And when I was all done, the instructor's comment to me was, "Mike, the concept was genius. The concept was brilliant. The execution, not so much." And I have to tell you, my ego being what it was and is, I was not very happy. And so I just kind of said, "That's it. No more of that stuff. I'm going to stick to metaphysics as they relate to the scriptures." But today I'm stepping out. I want to talk about the metaphysics of the Super Bowl, and I want to talk about the metaphysics of the song that we just heard, "Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life," which, by the way, may surprise you, in 1977 was a Grammy Award nominee. Okay, so when people who don't get out much say they never heard of the song, you know, my only question is, where have you been? But today is Super Bowl Sunday. The Super Bowl has grown into this incredible cultural phenomenon. I mean, it's 54 years old, and it has taken such a prominent seat in American life, in American culture. And by the way, I should mention, the real inspiration for going down this path were two quotes by very prominent football people. One was Jerry Rice, who was a wide receiver way back when for the San Francisco 49ers. And what Jerry Rice said is, "I do the things that others won't today, so tomorrow I could accomplish what others can't." And then there's a quote by Vince Lombardi, who said, and I want to get this right. I'll wing it. What Vince Lombardi said is, we could accomplish so many more things if we didn't believe them to be impossible. My friends, it doesn't get any more unity than that when you think about it. And so going back to the Super Bowl and what an incredible phenomenon it has become, today, for example, it is estimated that over 111 million people will be watching the Super Bowl later today. And 5 years ago, Super Bowl 49 smashed and broke all of the records. It was and still is the single most watched TV show in U.S. history. Absolutely incredible. And so even people who have really no interest in the game, really could care less who's going to win or lose, and actually get turned off by football, they show up at Super Bowl parties today and they watched the game because of all of the stuff that's grown up around it. It isn't just the football game anymore. There's this incredible halftime entertainment show, right? Where they bring out all kinds of stars, and very often there's fireworks and there's music and they're singing and they're dancing. And Susan tells me that she thinks that Jennifer Lopez is the main entertainer this afternoon. I have to tell you, I'm going to be watching. I love J-Lo. I really do. And so it all becomes part of the food and the whole atmosphere that grows up and surrounds the entire thing. And it's also a special time for a lot of U.S. companies, because this is the day that a lot of companies choose to launch their new commercials. And a lot of people will stay tuned to the television set to see what those new commercials are. And it costs a whopping $5.6 million for 30 seconds of TV time. It's amazing. And I think it's true, I heard, that two presidential candidates, Michael Bloomberg and Donald Trump, each have invested over $10 million in ads to be run this afternoon. And then there's the whole gambling part of it. Super Bowl weekend is the single most busiest weekend in Las Vegas. And the betting that goes on is absolutely insane. Not only can you place a bet on who's going to win or who's going to lose the game, but you get to bet on all kinds of things like, will the number of points that are scored be above or below a certain level? You get to bet on which team is going to score the first touchdown. You get to bet on the coin flip, whether it's going to come up heads or tails. And this morning I heard on the news that you could even bet on the length of time that it's going to take for the national anthem to be sung. Over 26 million Americans are expected to wager $5.8 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars, on bets related to the Super Bowl. It is absolutely incredible. And so, yes, the Super Bowl has become a very much ingrained American cultural significant event. So that's why I want you to really listen up to what I'm going to say next, because as incredible and fantastic and zany and wonderful, or any adjective that you want to use to describe it, that the Super Bowl has become, it does not compare to the incredible game of life that each and every one of you is invited to participate in every single day. So how do I make such a statement? Well, now we got to get into that wonderful song that Terry sang just a few minutes ago, and look at the metaphysics of the whole thing. Of course, that line, drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalpost of life, that's a metaphor, obviously. But the song itself is so much more than that. Notwithstanding the country and western twang, and notwithstanding the enjoyable fun, which is right and proper, by the way, that's built around the song, that song is a prayer. A real, honest to goodness prayer. And more significantly than that, it's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer that is an expression of a willingness to let go and let God in my life. And I love one of the lines from the song, I got the will, Lord, if you've got the toe. Absolutely incredible. So the song expresses, leaving it up to the toe of Jesus, or leaving it up to the toe of Spirit, to do what? To be drop-kicked through the goalposts. And so it's also a prayer of faith. And the goalposts and those bars that go up are conveniently for this talk and rightfully referred to as, nobody knows, uprights. Okay? I'm proud of you. You have to remember that when you're doing metaphysics, you are not only all of the characters in the story, but you are also all of the objects in the story. So in this story, you are also the football. And so you have to really get into the metaphor, but you could imagine being guided, being boosted, by being kicked in the rump sometimes by Spirit. You know, it calls us and moves us. Distracted neither to the left nor to the right, but to have that single eye focus that Jesus spoke about in order to arrive at a greater, higher, soaring experience of consciousness and awareness. It's all again about believing that if you could just let go all of the things that you ever wanted to do, all of the things that you ever wanted to be in life are absolutely possible. And I have another quote for you. This came from Lou Holtz, who once was the coach of Notre Dame and led them to a national championship. And what Lou Holtz said is, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. Again, it doesn't get much more unity than that. And it's kind of a paradox that the best way that you could exercise that 90% of control that you have is to give yourself over and surrender 100% to Spirit. And allow yourself as much as possible to be aligned with who and what you are called to be by God. You know, a football is an interesting object. If you drop it, it sometimes takes a funny bounce. And things don't always go the right way. And it's also filled with air. This one's filled with foam. But they're also filled with air. And there could be a problem because sometimes if the football is underinflated or deflated, there's no way you could get enough leg into it to kick it over the crossbars. And yet the world is constantly trying to do that to us. It's trying to take the wind out of our sails. It's trying to take the air out of us as footballs. And there's all kinds of things that happen to us in life that can cause us to feel deflated. The world tries to keep us in its place. It tells us how much we are lacking, how much we are falling short, how much we should not have dreams and hopes and aspirations to do the things that we really want to see and believe in. Because we've become deflated. Life has succeeded in beating us up. And then there's the other side of the spectrum. Footballs can also become overinflated. You know, kind of like happens to us, we become so incredibly sure of ourselves. And we don't need to have anybody drop kicking us over a goalpost. We don't need anybody. In fact, we don't even know God because we have all of the answers and we have everything figured out and we are ruling the roost until that 10% comes back into our lives and introduces something to us. And then we are in a lot of trouble. Another line for the song gives reference to the people that have gone before us. Those brothers and sisters who have gone before us. It makes the suggestion that they could be the offensive line. That they could be in front of us. They could block the way for us in order to make progress in our growth. We tend to lose sight of this. You know, and I just want to bring it up. Because even the people in our lives that maybe we didn't have the best experiences with have left us something, have left us a gift. And maybe if they've created some pain and misery, then they've at least given us opportunity. And it's really appropriate at this time to talk about the people that have gone before us because it is now 75 years since the Holocaust. Do we dare think that over 6 million people died in gas chambers for nothing? Do we not allow ourselves to open up to the possibility that through the deaths of people that have gone before us, there's a whole new awakening, that there's a whole next day that is there for each and every one of us to participate in? And this has a very strong scriptural and spiritual basis as well. Every single spiritual leader that there has ever been, Abraham, Jacob, Noah, Moses, Job, Joshua, Jonah, and let's not forget our way shower and place kicker for today, Jesus. And even outside of the Judaic Christian heritage, Siddhartha and Muhammad, each and every one of these individuals share a very common element. At some point in their life, they were called upon to make a decision in response to a request by God or by Spirit. Each and every one of them in their lives reached a critical point where they had to come forward and say, yes. And so it's really something that a question that we are faced with in our own lives every single day. And sometimes something really huge comes along and we have to answer it on a grand scale. But that question comes forward to us each and every single day. And I think I got one more quote for you. Oh, yeah. One of the other lines from the song is, a bench warmer I pretended to be. How tempting is it to sit out life? And so our very own Mike Ditka once said, if you're not in the parade, you are watching the parade. And it's so easy to just sit back and relax when things get tough, to take some steps backwards and say, you know what, I don't want to play anymore. I can't do this anymore. Well, there's a funny thing about quitting. Once you learn how to quit, it becomes a habit. And then those habits become more and more difficult, and it becomes more and more easier just to step back and remove yourself from the life situations. Remove yourself, become disenchanted from your job. I can't take this anymore. I'm just going to step back. I'm going to show up for work all the time and collect my paycheck because I really need the money. But I am finished being invested. I am finished being invested in my relationship with my spouse or with my kids or with my parents or whatever. I see signs these days from my own children. Yeah, Dad. We love him and everything, but he doesn't know what's going on. Part of what frustrates me is there's a certain aspect to that they are absolutely right. But it's so easy to say, you know, I'm going to sit this dance out. And so our deathbeds, you are not going to think back about those times that you stepped forward and said yes and got burned. You're not going to think about those times when you worked up the nerve and you finally asked that sweet girl out on a date and she said, yeah, right, like that's going to happen. All of those times that you stepped forward and you reached out and you took a step to try to grow and it didn't work out, you are not going to remember. The pain and the difficulty that you are going to experience, and this is borne out statistically at that time, are those instances when the opportunity was there to answer a challenge and take a chance, and you said, no, thank you. I'm going to sit this one out. We all have disappointments in our lives. We all have things that work out. I guarantee you in the game tonight, if you watch the game and if you're into football, there will be times for both teams where plays didn't happen the way they expected and things did not work out. But that old adage, it's not about winning or losing, but how you play the game that counts, that is so, so true. A lot of people today make fun because there's something that has crept into our culture in working with young kids and soccer teams and baseball teams and whatever. Everybody gets a trophy. And people say, that's not right. If they don't win anything, they shouldn't be getting a trophy. What the heck is this all about? Everybody's entitled to a participation trophy if you participate. It's what makes life fun. It's what brings joy to this situation. It's what creates healthy memories. And most significantly, the fact that you put yourself out there in any capacity, always, even when things don't go right, comes back and it fosters a greater, higher growth, a greater, higher awareness. It becomes part of who you are. And so I mentioned today that today is also Groundhog Day. And the good news is that Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow, so we are promised an early spring. This has been going on year after year after year for over 130 years. And statistically, that little rat has only been correct about 36% of the time. But we don't care. We don't care. This too has become a real American phenomenon. And we all look forward to it, and we all want to check it out, and we all want to hear. By the way, the one in Illinois, he saw his shadow. So that's the bad news. But it brings to mind one of my favorite movies, Groundhog Day, starring Bill Murray. And I'm sure just about everybody has seen that movie. And, you know, the metaphysics of that as well, because day after day after day, Bill Murray had to live the same monotonous, boring experiences over and over and over again. Can anybody relate to that in this room? Have we not all been in those doldrums? I remember when I was working, you know, in the business world, so many times in the morning, the alarm would go off and I'd put my feet on the ground and I would say, oh God, do I have to do this again? Bill Murray had to do that. He had to contend with that until what? He'll heed chains until at long last he let go of his inflated ego and his insistence that he knew what was going on in the world. And in the movie, he even tries to work the system. He even tries to work the monotony into something that is to his advantage. But ultimately, all of the doldrums and all of the monotony and all of the stupidity that he was forced to live so many times to the point of trying to kill himself multiple times, it only came to an end when at long last he let it go. He was able to live and come to a reality of peace because he allowed himself to be drop-kicked through the goalposts of life by Spirit. Today, we experience the phenomenon of the Super Bowl, and again, it's great, it's incredible, it's significant. I invite you to today and every day in the realization that you were born, you were called to engage in life, you were called to be part of the game. Life is not a suffering. Life is an opportunity. You have a chance today to do something that will make you a different person tomorrow. And if that's monotony, that same opportunity comes to you every single time. Every conflict that you have is an opportunity. Every worry that you have is an opportunity. And if you want to know what you have to do, you know, you just have to follow the wisdom of the song and get into that prayerful attitude. Dropkick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. And so I close with one more quote from a very, very famous football player that all of you probably have heard of, our own Chicago Bear, Walter Payton, who laid it out every single Sunday and worked relentlessly to be the best that he could be. And his words were very simple. It's a quote that you've heard before and probably have not had it attributed to Walter. And he said, "Remember, tomorrow is promised to no one." And so that, let's kick off into some prayer. I wanted that to go to the balcony, but I was nervous. Give me another shot. Go, Rose.
Wow.
Yeah.